and passion, a controlled rage.
George at left guard, Eddie banging forward, breaks a tackle. Did he get in?
He got in.
Touchdown, Titans, Eddie George.
The Midday 180 with Titans legend Eddie George. Queued up by Edley's Barbecue.
Give Eddie George running left, 20, 15, 10, 5, in zone. Look at him go!
Midday 180 with Eddie George, presented by Edley's Barbecue. We are live today at Poncho and Lefty's in Sylvan Park, one of the three locations for Edley's Barbecue. We're right across the street from Edley's here at Poncho and Lefty's. You can also find Edley's 12 South and in East Nashville. Yes, they deliver, and they use the highest quality meats. They smoke their meats in-house daily. Order directly from Edley's at edleysbbq.com. And Eddie George, also presented, Chad, by your local Ford dealer.
Yes, indeed. And for football fans out there, if the Titans are your kind of team, the Ford F-Series and Ranger are your kinds of trucks. Ford Truck Month is your kind of month. Good, great deals in the trucks as tough as the Titans. See your local Ford dealer today or visit buyfordnow.com to learn more.
Morgan, Eddie is saying he can't hear us, so make sure we have that potted up. And once Eddie can't hear me, he's going to give me a heads up. Can you hear me now, Eddie? We'll try this. Back down, and we will get this worked out momentarily. We'll have Kirby call and try to work this out as best we can coming up. But, Eddie George, I can see him right now. I just can't hear him Zoom.
That's tough on a audio medium.
I know.
We can tell you that Eddie looks great. He looks healthy. Looks like he should be the star and an HBO series or a film of some sort. Let's just describe how Eddie looks since we can't hear him.
So what we'll do, Morgan, we'll try to call him on his phone is what we'll do next. And I think Reed left that for you. So we'll do that as we talk through this live on the air with Eddie George, presented by Edley's Barbecue and your local Ford dealer. A lot to get to after yesterday's victory over the Houston Texans. Now 2 wins over the last 6 days for this Titans team. And they go into a week that would have been their bye week, but now they go into Pittsburgh week, Chad.
Well, and two big injury notes also to pass along. Taylor Lewan, torn ACL, out for the season. And also Jonnu Smith, reported by Adam Schefter, an ankle sprain. Minor ankle sprain, which is the good and bad news right now with Titans injuries.
Minor ankle sprain can still be significant in terms of costing a guy time and being something he might not be able to play through. So we'll be monitoring Jonnu Smith.
Eddie George joins us by phone. Eddie, we apologize for the technical difficulties there as we broadcast live. I'm curious, your thoughts on the Titans' win yesterday, where they're up by 14 a couple of times there. They end up by 11 going into the half. Houston takes the lead, and then we saw the run game and Ryan Tannehill take over.
Yeah. No, I kind of figured it was going to be a tough game. When you have division opponents like that, whether it's Houston or Indianapolis, even Jacksonville, those games are always going to be tough because the familiarity is there. I don't care about the record. You can throw that out the window. Anytime you have a guy like Deshaun Watson under center, it poses a threat for them to score points, especially what they've gone through in the last few weeks with the changing of coaches and so forth. So it was going to end up being a tough game. But in my mind, watching the Titans, again, come from behind, came from behind, was up, then came, was behind, and found a way to win, going to overtime, was just a testament to who this team is in terms of their character, their identity. I feel like Derrick Henry has definitely become not just the best running back, but probably the best player in football. And I think Ryan Tannehill could also make that argument about being an MVP as well, because they both had huge days. Tannehill proving that he can beat you with his arm. He made a lot of plays, not off of play action, but just within the pocket. And Derrick Henry just took over the game when he needed to. So I was very impressed by the Titans' victory.
What'd you see, Eddie, on the long run from Henry, who It wasn't like most of his long runs in that usually once he breaks through the first level, he's then on a straight line. Here, he got through going right and then kind of slanted back towards the left as he saw things unfold.
Yeah, well, what Derek does, he puts a lot of pressure on the defense, meaning that the moment that you have one wrong fit, the moment that your safety decides to take a bad angle and think that he can, you know, take Derek from behind with the speed, or if you miss a tackle, it can be lethal for you, for defense. It can be devastating because he's a threat anywhere on the football field. So when I saw him break the tackle and then have the pull away speed from the rest of the Houston defenders, that's what he does. I mean, if he breaks in the open, he is gone. End of story. I have yet to see anybody catch him from behind when he gets out of the open. You know, he is just as deadly from his own 10-yard line as he is on the opponent's 10-yard line and everything in between that. So he is putting a lot of pressure on defenses to be perfect at all times. The moment that you make a critical mistake, it results in a long touchdown of some sort.
I was struck on the long run. I thought I saw him looking up at the scoreboard to see if anybody was coming from behind, to catch him from behind for the first time like you were talking about there. I asked him about it, and he said, I never look at the scoreboard. I always look at the end zone. I'm always looking in front of me. I'm always looking forward. I remember talking to you after the Indianapolis game, and I wrote a story about it after the Indianapolis playoff game. And you said you did look up at the scoreboard. You were using it like a rearview mirror. RCA Dome scoreboard was pretty small, if I remember correctly.
They all were then.
But you were using it as a rearview mirror to see what was coming behind you. I just wonder your different thinking than his different thinking.
I mean, it's not like, you know, it just happened. I mean, it just so happened that I looked up at the scoreboard because it was there. You know, it was there. But, you know, we think differently. I mean, Derek is having a run of all runs right now. And that's how he's always played. I mean, if you look at his biggest plays at Alabama, you know, he ripped off some pretty long runs. And he's done it in high school. So this is not new territory for him. And he works at his craft. You can tell it. You know, he could have easily taking the approach that, hey, I got paid this year, and now I'm just going to, you know, kind of, you know, sleepwalk through the rest of my playing days. Now, but he's taking it to a completely different level. He truly wants to be one of the greats in this game. He starts, and he's really making a name for himself. So that's his approach. You know, that's his approach.
Eddie George with us, presented by Edley's Barbecue. Coming up, we discuss a couple of other topics from the game yesterday. Vrabel's clock management, which, looking back on it, brilliant. We're saving 40 seconds by getting the penalty. We'll walk through that with Eddie. Also, Crennel's decision as the interim coach to go for two instead of kicking the extra point to go up by 8 late in that game. We'll get Eddie's take on that, the Wildcat formation, and much more. Eddie George with us. And, oh, Chad, the Big Ten returns this weekend.
Eddie's conference is back.
Oh, yeah. We are back with Eddie George next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Scheduled to be a bye week, now has your Titans facing Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Come on, this one should be easy. Big Ben no longer has Ramon Foster protecting him. We do. Kickoff is Sunday at noon on your home for Titans football, 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 with Eddie George, presented by Edley's Barbecue. Delivery options available for you online, edleysbbq.com, ponchoandlefties.com. Three locations for Edley's, 12 Southeast Nashville, Sylvan Park. And Eddie George also presented by your local Ford dealer.
Yes, he is. The MVP of sales events is here, Ford Truck Month, where you'll find great deals on the biggest selection of trucks like the legendary F-150, the Tough Super Duty, and the only adventure gear built for Tough, the Ford Ranger. Don't wait. Ford Trunk Month ends soon.
Eddie, so yesterday in overtime, whenever you saw that Tannehill had split out to the left and they were going with the Wildcat or the King Cat formation, What'd you think?
Oh, man, I thought I was almost expecting the Tim Tebow pass or that he did in Baltimore. Man, but, you know, Derek, I figured he was going to run it or throw it, one of the two. And I was not surprised when he took it in from the five-yard line. It was a brilliant play call. Arthur Smith has just been dialed in all year long with this offense and getting guys the ball and just really trusting Tannehill in these key moments. And also Derek, it's just been phenomenal to watch his play calling on the year. So get the ball in the best player's hands, and that's what he did. And then Derek did not disappoint with that, capping off that 5-yard run.
Stat sheet yesterday looked like a college game. 601 total yards. That's a franchise record for the Titans. They had a 250-plus yard runner. They had the 300-yard passer. They had the 100-yard receiver. Paul, that's the first time the franchise has ever had a trio like that, right?
Yes, and the first time in league history, 300-yard passer, 200-yard runner.
Wow. And they were 4 seconds away from losing, Eddie.
I know. How about that? You know, but that's how it goes. I mean, we'll take a victory any way you look at it. Great offensive performance. I think now we're starting to see some of the holes where improvement can be made, and that's definitely on the defensive side of football and the secondary and so forth. You know, there's the good and certainly the areas where we need to improve, and that's definitely on the defensive side. When you have that type of offensive explosion, it's going to be a nightmare for those teams. And I think the Titans will figure it out in terms of defense as time goes on. But certainly when you have an offense where you have to think about a three-headed monster, it's a problem.
Houston scores at the end of the fourth, and they go for two. They're already up 7. If they kick it, they're up 8. If they go for two and get it, they're up 9. Interim head coach Eddie George, what would you have done compared to what Romeo Crennel decided to do with the 2-point conversion attempt?
I take the points. There was no reason to go for two. I mean, for me, I mean, put the pressure on them to try to tie the game up. I mean, yeah, you want to shut it out. Yeah, you want to be aggressive. Yeah, you're 1-4. But I take the points. I take what's given to me and let my defense go out there and do what they have to do. And let the chips fall where they may, but you know certainly I wouldn't give the Titans an opportunity with a minute and 59 seconds to go in the game to do exactly what they've done, and they lost the coin toss. So you know, much respect for Romeo. I understand his aggressive nature to try to say, hey, we're in to win this game at all costs, but it cost them the victory in the end.
And, Paul, if you don't mind, before we go to the Vrabel presser, tell Eddie about the penalty on purpose, the 12 men on the field late to save 40 seconds.
So Josh Kalu on the field there, Jonathan Joseph, confused. Vrabel acting like he was ultimately upset to take the flag there, 2nd and 1, gives them 5 yards, stops the clock, amounts to an extra timeout, done on purpose. And that 40 seconds really helps them win the game.
Isn't that chess over checkers at that point, Eddie?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the mark of an exceptional coach, and he's the byproduct of some great coaches, and you pick up a lot of different things, the nuances of the game, where you can pick up an extra timeout in that situation. And this game is all about situations and being prepared for those situations that come up. Like I had, for example, the Music City Miracle. I talked about that just this afternoon. Doing those things that you think are mundane, hey, it may never happen, but you're always preparing for the unexpected things to happen during the course of the game. And when it comes up, you're ready for it. You're not scrambling. And for Mike to take that penalty, to buy an extra 40 seconds, is a testament to how great of a coach he is and how knowledgeable he is, how aware he is, and how prepared he is.
Eddie, one more NFL question, then I want to get your thoughts on the Big Ten kicking off this weekend. 3 unbeatens remain across the league. The Titans, the Steelers, who will play this coming Sunday, and then Seattle. How would you rank those 3 teams right now? And are Pittsburgh and Tennessee playing for the top spot in your mind?
Yeah, I would definitely say Pittsburgh 1, Titans 2, Seattle 3. For the simple fact that the Titans' defense right now is still question marks around it. Pittsburgh is they play exceptional defense. Ben is having an exceptional year as well. And this is going to be a bloodbath. This is going to take us back. This harkens back to the days when we played Pittsburgh in the old AFC Central, and certainly when we played them during the 2000s and the mid-2000s and so forth. It's going to be that 16-round heavyweight fight. And you know the brand of football that Pittsburgh plays with. They pack their run, and they pack a defense. And that's what they believe in. And the Titans certainly know how to run the football. They know how to score points. And it's going to be a bloodbath. And I can't wait to see it. Now we're going to see, you know, who are the real contenders and who are the pretenders in this one. And it's going to be a good matchup for the Titans this weekend for sure. You know, some great coaches. So I think this is for the number one spot for sure, the best team in the NFL coming up here this weekend.
Yeah, right there with you. I can't wait to see the 2-5-0 teams battle at Nissan Stadium. All right, give us your take on the Big Ten, which finally gets to kick off their football season. And honestly, I can't wait to fast forward. I know we're enjoying the games as they come, but Ohio State, Penn State, a week from Saturday is going to be a blast to watch.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad that Big Ten football is back. The only football that really matters to me. There's only really one team that I'm focused on coming out of the Big Ten, that being Ohio State. But certainly with the matchups with Ohio State, Penn State, and a team up north, I can't wait for that to happen. But the interesting thing is how they're going to navigate through an 8-game schedule. There's very little wiggle room for error. You know, if one of these teams has an outbreak, how will it handle it? You know, and if they only get in 6 games, will the committee look at that? If Ohio State goes 6-0, will they say that they're one of the top 4 teams in the country? So, interesting times right now, but I'm glad that they are bringing football back in the Big Ten and gives us some a more slate of games to look at with the SEC, the ACC, and the Pac-12 will be joining the mix soon, too. So, it's going to be some good football played here in December and November.
Eddie and I and Chad were talking about Lovecraft Country, this new show on HBO that we have yet to watch, but we're looking for good reviews. Hit us up on Twitter and let us know if you've watched this show. It's a horror drama television series.
Hey, Hutch.
And go ahead.
Check out the opening. I think it's SNL. SNL did a skit on this the other night, and ironically, it was at a Titans tailgate. They used the Titans as a tailgate. Talking about the show, you got to check it out.
Okay,
have a chance to look at it, and it talks about the complexity of the storyline. But they're at Nissan Stadium, and that's the scene, the setting. So that's what caught my attention with it. So I thought that was interesting. So check it out on Saturday Night Live.
I will. I'll look at it. Hey, have you shot the open yet? The promo for Titans Steelers, the way you have done the last few for the Titans social media accounts.
That's going to be a good one, I think. That was a good shot. That was in the hopper. So,
okay.
You know,
okay.
It's much like the Baltimore playoff game, you know, that opening. So, I've enjoyed doing those. It's been a lot of fun. David does a fantastic job of putting those together. The writing has been great. The technology, it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed doing those spots. Hopefully the fans won't get tired of it.
Oh, man, they have been awesome. They've been really, really good, and a great job by you and everyone involved with the production of that. Eddie, thank you as always, man. We always love having your perspective on the show. We'll catch up next week.
All right, brother. Have a blessed day.
Yep, same to you. Eddie George, presented by Edley's Barbecue and your local Ford dealer, has been our guest. A little shorter than usual today because we go from one Buckeye to another. Here is Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Titans, speaking with the media.
To Tony Dews and those drills that he's working, right, to help those guys when they get into the open field or they get past the first level.
And then to spin it forward to this upcoming game, the Steelers, they're number 2 against the run. So obviously they're legit in run defense. what kind of challenge do they present as far as you guys being able to continue that momentum from this past week?
Well, they are well coached. They're extremely well coached. They're talented. They play well. It has been tough for people to run the football on them. And, you know, we'll have to get to work. We've already started to get to work on that and how we're going to try to do that. But it'll take all 11. We'll have to give them a good plan and make sure that they understand it. And then, you know, go out and execute. And we'll have to, you know, get in there and block force and stand up to the front. We'll have to block them. You know, they're good on the edges and they're very good inside.
Jim?
Mike, what do you like about Ty Sombrero's maybe skill set? And do you try to speed things up with Isaiah, or you just got to keep him at his pace and use him when he's ready?
Well, I think to answer, you know, Ty's played in this league. You know, he's played multiple positions. He's got versatility. You know, had the play in there with Watt early on, but I thought he settled down and played well, like he has in the past when he's come in for us when he needed to play. And then to Isaiah, you know, we haven't practiced much, you know, so we got to get out and practice and evaluate where that is this week quickly and see where he can help us.
And you mentioned getting ready for the Steelers. You did some work in maybe anticipating playing them earlier this year. Did that help you this week? I mean, put you a little bit ahead of the game there as you get up ready for this week?
You know, maybe a little bit. You know, I think that you know, our focus after Pittsburgh was squarely on the Bills and the situation that we were dealing with, and then in a short turnaround to with the Texans. So, you know, we'll get back at it now here, looking at them and seeing where we can go to give our guys a best chance to prepare and win on Sunday.
Joe?
Mike, what about with Dennis? I know you guys obviously with a different roster, but you moved him over, of course, to the left side. Is that anywhere in the thought process that you might end up being better off long-term with him on the left side?
We'll go through all the scenarios, Joe. We'll figure out which ones we think are best for the players and best for the team. So I'm sure we'll consider that and have considered that.
Chris Harris?
Hey, Mike, just for some clarification, with LaJuan, should you guys make a deep playoff run, is there any chance that he would be available for that, or is he just you planning on him being done for the rest of the year?
You know, Chris, I can only speak on what I know as of today, and that's, you know, that Taylor will be going on IR. So that's really all I can speak about. I wouldn't even want to begin to speculate what would happen beyond – you know, the short term. You know, I don't have an idea of when surgery would be or any of those things. Just, you know, I know that we're not going to have them available here in the short term and probably throughout this current regular season.
John?
Yeah, Mike, question for you on that late 12 men on the field penalty against you guys. I guess first question, was that, you know, intentionally done to stop the clock?
You know, we have to do a better job with penalties. You know, we had 7 of them, I think, pretty uncharacteristic. You know, we had a few on offense. So, you know, we have to be better in all areas, and I think the penalties are one thing that we focus on, you know, communicating, trying to give ourselves the best chance to win a football game.
Right, but the 12 men on the field, one in particular, were you trying to save some clock time by getting that call?
The second one, you know, just trying to get them to make a stop there and substitute it in, you know, an extra DB, but you know, we ultimately got to do a better job on first down in 4-minute defense and not give up 9 yards.
Gotcha. And one follow on the final touchdown for you guys, or the final regulation touchdown for you guys. Did you consider 2 points at all, considering their offense had been going so well?
No.
Terry? Mike, in terms of the offensive line, you talked about a lot of different scenarios. Roger Saffold played some tackle earlier in his career. Is that a consideration, or is it too risky to move a guard out the tackle and risk messing up the chemistry?
Those are all the things that we're going through, you know, today, Terry. And again, we have to try to focus on what's best for the player, which would, you know, hopefully be best for the team. And, you know, we'll work through a lot of those. And, you know, by Wednesday, when it's time to practice, I'm confident that we'll have five guys that, you know, will be comfortable where they're at and try to learn the game plan and be ready and have some guys that are available in a backup role that have some versatility and that can play more than one position.
Paul?
Mike, if the Wildcat snap didn't work, were you intending to go for it on fourth down?
Yes.
Jared?
Yeah, Mike, on the question that John asked you about thinking about going for it for two, a couple years ago, Romeo obviously went for two, and that kind of changed the game a little bit. And a couple of years ago against the Chargers in London, you did go for two. Can you kind of take us through your thought process on how you decide when you want to go for two in a situation like that and when you want to kick it and go to overtime like you did yesterday?
Looking at their situation, I guess it was just on fourth. They get two fourth. They scored on two fourth downs there on the 1 yard line. We played pretty well. You know, a lot of that's going to get overshadowed by, you know, their ability to convert on the fourth and ones, you know, twice. But we, I think, had the one against New England where we went up seven in the playoff game. Much different situation. They had less time. But really, you could end it there with, a two-point conversion and making it, you know, a true two-score game and not a touchdown and a two-point conversion, which, you know, it's debatable whether that's considered a two-score. You know, if eight's considered two scores since, you know, it's 50-50 on the conversion. But I think that's all they were trying to do there is to say, you know, let's get it to nine and pretty much guarantee that we're going to win the game. We did it the same thing, and we didn't convert last year in New England. And then the other times where you're trying to go for two is, you know, based just on, you know, the score of the game, you know, what you're trying to get it to, whether it's you're at four, or you're trying to get it to six early in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, looking back, you know, in London, you know, just kind of the situation on how the game was going, you know, felt like that was the play, and, you know, we didn't execute, but, you know, we'll just try to continue to have a call ready and make a decisive decision.
That is Titans head coach Mike Vrabel with the media. When we come back, we will recap the Titans 42-36 win over Houston yesterday by reliving some of the best moments through Titans Radio with a David Reed montage you will not want to miss. Next on the Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Jason Martin and Ramon Foster, they don't just want you to listen. They want you to also hang out and kick it with them every morning. As long as you're wearing pants, that is. J. Martin Ramon, tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 on 104.5 The Zone.
Does Tannehill have another magic fourth quarter in him?
Gonna need it.
So the Titans have 105 seconds, one timeout, and they need a touchdown.
We've done it before.
Stage is set for my people, yeah. Coming back like a sequel, yeah.
Titans trying to get on the ball. 12 seconds and counting. It's second down and one. 9 seconds and counting. Tannehill throws the fade, left corner for Brown. He caught it. Touchdown, Titans! A.J. Brown beats Roby! Yes!
The future's blurry, but the past is a trap. I might be staring at my last chance. But I'm cold.
Titans A.J. Brown wide to the left. Tannehill is wide to the left. Henry is in the gun.
Okay.
It's the King Cat. Henry running to the left. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Tannehill! Yo! Titans win 42-36 as Arthur Smith comes with the King Cat for the final 5 yards and the victory. And the Texans stunned. The 100th win at Nissan Stadium, one of the greatest we have ever seen.
What a football game.
What a football game.
Final score, Tennessee 42, Houston 36, as in overtime at Nissan Stadium. The Titans get it done again.
Titans win in overtime against the Houston Texans. Now 5-0, and here come the Pittsburgh Steelers at 5-0 this coming Sunday at Nissan Stadium.
I could listen to a track of just Coach Mack reactions. Oh!
And you just should see him in the booth.
Oh, it's amazing. I could listen to that all day. What a win.
Shout out David Reed, who is with us in spirit today with his montages he's provided for the show. Morgan Alexander doing a fantastic job. Looking to JT and Lucas Panzeca, who are on deck for Mickey and Blaine, as well as 3HL coming up. Ryan Tannehill on at 1 o'clock.
Lucas Panzeca, play-by-play voice of the Dixon County Cougars. It's been a tough go in terms of overall record for play-by-play, man, which I don't know if that's a real thing. It's the record's not look good for old Lucas.
Shout out to Simon Koharski, who is rehabbing a broken wrist slash arm today.
We didn't
Thank
get that, that diagnosis from Kirby today. Too much
Can we have
on?
A quick second
sure,
for Kirby
yeah.
to
Pull
look
up
at the
these
pictures?
X-rays.
Kirby, come
yeah.
look. And
we want your professional.
I'm going to hand my mic to Kirby.
Your professional medical opinion, Kirby, when you see these.
Grab your mic so we can all react here together.
Yeah, this
We've got a couple of minutes here.
It would have been great if you didn't tell him what happened to Simon first and just asked to say what was going on.
Give it Dr.
Oh
Kirby, Dr.
God.
Kirby Allen Kirby your thoughts.
Well, I'm glad he's not a racehorse.
Here's a different angle, Kirby.
No, that's not good. I'm envisioning bolts, metal plates, maybe a steel rod. That looks horrible. And if this were 1970, we would have just probably thrown him in a special ed class. I mean, that
yeah,
looks
because this
horrific.
Affects his brain.
A special ed class?
Well, no, wow. He's saying
that,
like he,
Morgan, could you clip that and put that somewhere?
That looks horrible.
This kid clearly can't have
right,
a
budget. I don't know what he's saying.
Let's just get rid of
his career's over. Yeah.
Hey, let's throw him into the system. Yeah. One broken arm, this kid's going to be. You're not with your friends anymore,
Amsterdam.
Buddy.
Amsterdam. My parents are with the little guy. Oh, God.
Yeah, it looks
no
terrible.
No surgery so far.
So what bones are those?
What are the two bones of my arm?
No, we're asking Kirby.
Sorry.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah, what are the bones, Kirby?
I have no idea. It's like
fell out of the hole.
Don't you tell me what the real doctor told you.
I can tell you what the two bones
no,
are.
No, no.
I took an intro to physical therapy class.
I am completely blank at the moment.
I was also once pre-med.
No, you're completely blank at every moment.
For a semester, I was pre-med.
We're all falling out of the bit here.
For one semester. Don't study that.
For one semester.
That
was pre-med.
2.0. That 2.0.
And this is like my dad who took botany one semester at Columbia, and his whole life, every time anything came up about plants, he's like, I took botany.
Yeah, he knows.
We're like, that's great. Tell us something about the botany.
Ugh.
Kirby, go ahead and name those bones.
I couldn't.
Name those broken bones.
I can tell you what it is.
So take this broken
that
wing.
That one right there looks fairly clean, though. Like
learn to fly.
Kirby's just looking at it saying
what
this
is
one.
The, what is the
well,
bone?
It's the radius and the ulna in the forearm.
I believe that's correct.
The ulna, I think, is the thumb side bone. The radius is on the outside.
So it's rather amazing.
And both
the
bones that connect.
So
the humerus is up here. I know that.
They put them under with morphine,
Thank
and
you.
they reduce these bones into place. And then the expectation is that they will, within 72 hours, show signs of growing back together. And that there will not need to be surgery unless that goes badly. And they don't expect there to need to be surgery. But if it went badly, they would need to go in and repair it. But him coming out of morphine, I mean, he was so hysterically funny. Apologizing, asking about how long things took, telling us. So they told him he could pick what he wanted to dream about. And he said, I'm going to dream about going to the beach. And so when he came to, we were asking him, so did you dream about the beach? And he said, no, I dreamed about every one of you helping me. And all of your heads were spinny. It was creepy. All the doctor's heads were spinny. And mommy and daddy, your heads were spinny too. Just all kinds of crazy stuff he was talking. It was really something to behold.
Give him peyote?
Yeah, Kirby, go ahead. Give us every word you could think of for cocaine.
Move on.
It's my favorite.
Correct. Peruvian powder.
Now you got me laughing. I can't do
That's
it.
Only for Ubers only, is what Kirby's saying on that. Big thanks to Poncho and Lefties for hosting us for the 180 Mobile Studio.
Delicious
today.
Food.
Oh, yeah.
Really good food here.
They brought us a pitcher of tea and water out here, and people have thought it's just like in the middle of the room here. They're like, oh, this is the casual refill.
Yeah. No casual refills in the age of COVID, I don't think.
Yeah.
Only my friends.
You can just come out and grab your sweet tea, whatever you need.
I like how the gentleman
grab and go.
Kind of grabbed it over here, but then sort of looked up to ask if it was okay, right. Which we said, absolutely, go right ahead. So I just kind of thought I was out here for the group, for the community. And it is.
Where are we tomorrow?
Where are we tomorrow?
Oh, Kirby just said we're at our homes. Does that mean one home?
remains to be seen. We are working. We are efforting. Efforting.
Thanks to Morgan Alexander, JT, and everyone for filling in for David Reed today. Morgan, we will see you tomorrow. We are back at it with Blake Bedingfield and John McClain tomorrow on the Midday 180. Delivered by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
And thanks to you, our devoted listeners, who we ask not to block the box, but to lock the locks.